wishes are high. But then that recognition is confronted by a sudden opposition, often by those who have encouraged and supported the concept until it falls too close, too nearby, too locally disruptive, anywhere but in my backyard. And what happens then? Regulations are invoked, lawsuits, press releases, principal arguments combine to describe why change cannot, should not be allowed, regardless of recognized need. It happens again and again. We never seem to be able to anticipate or to compromise or to find a consensus before the fact. We always seem to find our objections and cleave to the regulations to deny the opportunity, indeed the actuality of change. In the meantime, every moment lost is withdrawn from our future. Every loss diminishes possibility and progress. Every diminishment increases the probability of failure. That is the antithesis of the true meaning of regulation, to control a process so that it works well, endures, increases, and builds to enable, not to deny. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Tune into KBOO on Friday, May 10th from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the live broadcast of the Blues Carnival, Rhythm in Rio. Rhythm in Rio is a benefit show for healthcare for all Oregon, featuring Norman Sylvester and Bloco Alegria. Again, that's the Blues Carnival Rhythm in Rio, broadcasting live from the Aladdin Theater from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. For more information, check out kboo.fm/Blues Carnival 2024.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Community Radio. Today we're talking with Greg Smith, who is the producer of the podcast Inside Voices United. And Greg, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. The name of the podcast is Inside Voices United, and that's also our website. Inside Voices United, one long word, .org is our website.
Tell us more about Inside Voices United. What is your podcast about?
The podcast sort of grew out of a project that I started some years ago. I will give you the condensed version of the history of our charity, but basically, I've worked in the media, I've worked in radio, I've worked in television, I've worked in film for many years, and I was a teacher for 20 years, which was sort of the last of my careers. And I was sort of toward the end of where I wanted to go with teaching after 20 years. I'd at various colleges. I was the last college I was at was the Savannah College of Art and Design, a great school down in Savannah. And after that, I thought, you know, I'm ready to not go into a classroom every day, but I'm still very interested in doing something. So I was in the shower one day, which is all the great ideas come from when you're in the shower. And the radio was on. I heard Johnny Cash in Folsom Prison. And there is a prison in Savannah. And I thought, huh. So I called them, and because I happen to have a band. I'm a musician, as well as a teacher and other things. So long story short, I got in touch with the prison. I said, would you be open to our band coming and playing? He said, yeah. He said, no one ever comes and plays, which surprised me. I thought, you know, I'd probably have to wait in line, but evidently no bands go into prisons and play very much. So or not on a regular basis that I would have thought it would have been. So over the course of setting up arrangements to get into the prison, I got to talking with the chaplain there, and I asked him about songwriters. And I said, does anybody write music in prison? He said, oh, everybody. And he said, everyone's a musician. Even the warden has a band. And I said, no kidding. So it hatched the idea, since I was a teacher and a musician, blah, 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 I was interested in the songs that the inmates were writing. the original songs that they were writing, and there are quite a few of them. So what we devised was I was going to go in with my little combo, and we played for, you know, several hundred inmates in a concert. And then after that, there was a pre-selected group of 15, and they all played me their songs one at a time. And the podcast grew out of that experience, because I went back after 2 months. I went back with a couple of guys that work with me, and I've recorded sound remotely for many years, certainly in film and also through my teaching and other things. So we went in back into the prison 2 months after our first encounter with these songwriters, and they had time to rehearse them, you know, over 2 months. So we went back and with our recording kit, and we recorded them and edited them and put them up online. And so this is a very long answer to get around to your question, which is the answer is the podcast grew out of that. Because after I heard their songs and we recorded it, then I got interested in the stories that these guys had to tell. So I sat them down one at a time, just like we're doing here, one at a time, just to chat. And I'm sure listeners to your program know about, you know, sort of etiquette in prison a little bit. So one thing you don't do when you go into prison as an outsider is you don't really ask them what they're in for. You know, if they volunteer that information, that's fine. But I wasn't interested much in that anyway. My interest was more in them as musicians. So I would ask them questions about what did they listen to growing up? Was there a piano in your home? Did grandma sing? And a lot of them had similar stories. Growing up, they were always singing in the kitchen, and mom and grandma were singing, and then we all sang in the church choir on Sunday, and the music they listened to, depending on how old they were, you know, and you'd get a real variety. So those interviews became the genesis of a podcast, because I thought, you know, apart from taking the songs, recording them, then putting them up on our website, and you can go to our website and you can listen to the songs that we recorded in prison, and they're really good. I mean, the songs themselves. And I also have a good team, so they're pretty good recordings. But the stories are there's also a podcast tab on our website. And if you click on that, you can go and you can hear the stories behind the song. And I found that fascinating. The stories are just remarkable. So that became kind of a twofer, where we have the music and we put out an album for each prison we visit. And then the podcast, which is growing. I think we've only got about 15 or 20 episodes on it right now, but we're growing as we go, and that's kind of was the genesis of that.
We're gonna actually hear one of the songs that you recorded with Francois Mingo.
Yeah,
called I Want That Song. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So here's Francois Mingo. As we say in the say in the South, bless his heart. He kind of fibbed to get into the group of songwriters. He hadn't really written a song. But he had friends who were kind of musical, and he wanted to be part of this thing that this guy, Greg Smith, came in with. And so he kind of fibbed to get into it. I know, shocker that an inmate might tell a lie or something like that, but he's a real nice guy. And so he realized that he had fibbed to get into the group. And then the night before I came for the first time to listen to their songs, he got into the group, but he didn't have a song. So he had written songs in the past, but they weren't very good or this or that. So he didn't have anything fresh. So he was lying in his, as he tells the story. And he does tell the similar story inside the podcast. There's a longer version of what I'm condensing here. But as he lay in his bunk the night before I came, he said, I was looking up at the ceiling and I was praying to God and saying, I want that song. I want that song. Give me that song. And I Want That Song became the name of the song. And the song itself is kind of a travelogue where he talks about people in different countries. It's a little disjointed, but I was really impressed with the song. When we went in the next day, he played it for me. I was like, yeah, that's a great song. In fact, I liked it so much that it's the theme song to our podcast. So I'll let you play it.
I want that song. I don't want to die. I want that song. I don't want to die. I want that song. I don't wanna die. I want that song called I Don't Wanna Die. I've been thinking in my mind before I die, thinking about a world as this we live in, and a about all of my friends. As I look around, I see all the changes in the world, and I think to myself, there's something missing in my life. I want the words to allow me to talk to the world. 'Cause the mystery of the ages is now before our eyes. And if you open up your eyes, then maybe you can see that the times we are living in, it's time to depend on a friend. But until then, I want that song. I don't want to die. I want that song. I don't want to die. I want that song. I don't want to die. I want that song called I Don't Want to Die. From America to China, from China to Germany, from Germany to Russia, from Russia to Iran. I want everyone in the world to know, it's time for all of us to go on that merry-go-around. And where it will stop, there's someone who knows where it will. But his job is not mine to do. I just wanted to say these words and sing this song to you. I want that song. I don't want to die. I want that song. I don't want to die. I want that song. I don't want to die. I want that song called I Don't Want to Die.
So that was I Want That Song by Francois Mingo. Tell me a little bit more about where Francois is serving time, Coastal State Prison in Savannah, Georgia.
Coastal State Prison is near the airport. If you ever fly into Savannah, you're right next to it. You don't even notice it because it's tucked back. But it's right next to Gulfstream, and Gulfstream's international headquarters is at the airport. It's all right there. I wasn't aware of it when I first got to Savannah, but it's one of the prisons in the Georgia Department of Corrections, their prison system, and it's a men's prison, and it's 2,500 inmates, if memory serves. And it's a medium security prison. They have people serving all kinds of sentences for all kinds of crimes, obviously, but some are long-term criminals, hardcore guys. Some are, you know, check bouncers and things like that. You get your usual mix inside any prison, but that was kind of a surprise to me because I didn't know there was this major prison right there in Savannah, but it coexists with the community. And that was kind of another thing that I was trying to create with this project, is a sense of getting the inside voices, get them outside. Because every prison sits somewhere, and every prison is its own community, but every prison is part of a larger community. So Coastal State Prison is part of the Savannah community, in my thoughts.
One of the things I notice when I go into prisons is that people love music. They really love music. And usually one of the most popular programs in a prison is either a music program or a recording, hip hop, choir, anything that allows people a chance to sing. And they really like to sing like for an audience. They like to do something that shows that they exist, you know, and that they have a voice. Can you talk about the power of music in the prisons?
It's an incredible power. And it's something that I had a kind of a vague notion of before I started the project. But it's funny how you get an idea and you sort of head in a direction, and then and that's how I started this project. It was just a notion when I got in there. What you were just saying is absolutely dead on. It was even you know, more of an important element of that community than I had imagined. And that's one of the things that is kind of, to me, that's special working on this project, which is that this is the way a lot of them will express themselves and a lot of them will tell their stories. And the stories are fascinating. But in terms of, there are two points I want to make. One is about education. Working with these inmates, as they play us their songs, what I do in the first round is I work with them on their songs. And we all sit in a big room together. And I first guy comes down, sits on a chair, plays me a song. And I say, I should also mention I'm a musician, a professional musician as well. So I've got working actually on my 14th album right now over many years. And I've got well over 100 published songs that are up on Spotify and elsewhere. But through that process, you learn how to write a song. So when I would go into the prison, I would work with them. And that's the way they would tell their stories. And I would just make their songs better or try to, you know, this is more of a verse. Let's make this into a chorus. And here's a bridge. And let's repeat this part. Okay, that's great. Now next guy and blah, blah, blah. But listening to them sing their songs and lay their feelings out there is the educational part of it. The other part of it is kind of an emotional and a spiritual part of it, which really connects them to emotions that they may not have been, that they have buried deep down. Because they're in prison and they want to survive. I mean, I'm not quite how to say it, but you know, you can't be vulnerable in prison. You have to immediately put on a second skin. It's a defensive survival technique. However, the musician is still there. The artist is still there. The music is still there. And I'll tell you one quick story if I can. Went into a women's prison, and during that first process where they all sang their songs, there were, I think there were 10 women that day and of various ages, and they all sang their songs. And we got down to the last woman who was sort of sitting off from the rest of the group, and she was older. She looked to be in her 50s, and she had a real tough demeanor, a real scowl on her face. She had a mohawk, kind of a blue hair mohawk thing going, and a couple of tats on her arm. And, you know, she just looked, you know, like a tough character. But it came time down, you know, I'd heard all the other songs, and, you know, she was sitting back and folding her arms, and I finally called on her, and I said, come on down, sing your song. I said, it's your time, your turn, come on, let's go. She very shyly got up, and suddenly, as she knew it was her turn, that scowl melted into kind of almost a little girl kind of scared kind of look. And I said, it's okay. I said, come on down, sit down. It's going to be fine. It's just you and me. Sing me your song. Don't even look at the other folks here, you know, just, and she did her thing and she sang a little bit of it. And, you know, as a college professor and also a musician, I'm like, okay, we got to get a little louder, because we got to play to the back row, as they say in theater. You know, I need to hear more of your voice, because she was singing in this tiny, tiny little, almost a baby voice. And I said, no, put some emotion into it, because your words are emotional, but that's what we do in music. We take the words on the page and we put emotion behind it. So with that little nudge, suddenly she opened her mouth and sang this song. And it was just, you could feel the light fixtures vibrating in the ceiling. And it was a religious song that she had written. And by the end of it, I swear, we all had our hands in the air. If you've ever been to like a Baptist revival meeting or a tent revival meeting where your hands go in the air, you know, because you're praising God or whatever, you're being part of the service like that. Everyone's hand was in the air and nodding our heads. And she finished her song and singing a cappella. And she slid out of her chair at the end of the song and hit the floor and tucked into a fetal position and just wept like a child. And just like in a football game, when a player goes down, you know, the other players come up around and they all put a hand on them like that. All the other women came out of their chairs and were just stroking her hair and stroking her back and saying, it's okay, it's okay. And she turned to me and looked up at me with this very, very tough, you know, outer skin had melted away. And she looked me in the eyes with tears in her eyes and said, that's the first time that I felt like a human being since I've been in this place.
Wow. Well, we have another song called Save Me.
Oh, yeah,
which,
yeah.
Which was recorded by a woman. I guess she's out now, but Chelsea Clary. Why don't we listen to that, and then you can tell us a little bit about the song.
Nobody understands me. Nobody can see my world. I'm lost in disarray. I'm reaching my hands up, lost in a daze, worn out by grief, gazing and I can't see. Why don't you save me? Save me from danger. Keep me from falling up under that water whenever the storm comes. Why don't you save me? Save me from danger. Keep me from falling up under that water whenever the storm comes. I can't let this be. Be my defeat, filled in my heart, agony. I've reached my peak, deep in my soul, misery. Somebody save me. Save me from danger. Keep me from falling up under that water whenever the storm comes. Why don't you save me? Save me from danger. Keep me from falling up under that water whenever the storm comes. Battling the current, can't sustain the waves, rolling thunder. I made it through the storm. Oh, yes, you saved me. You saved me from danger. Kept me from falling up under the water whenever the storm comes. Oh, yes, you save me. You save me from danger. Kept me from falling up under the water whenever the storm comes.
And that was Save Me by Chelsea Clary. I just thought maybe that would be a good time to play that because you were just telling us about this experience in the women's prison.
Absolutely. And that was, so Chelsea, as it turns out, you know, we did the two visits. And when we came back 2 months later, we did the recording. And just by chance, she was getting out the next day. In fact, I've heard through the grapevine that she actually took the song that you just heard as kind of a demo because she has contacts in the recording industry in her home state of South Carolina. And so she was gonna use this as saying, you know, maybe almost a demo or something like that. But that's one of those voices. I mean, good Lord. I mean, she has just got so much talent. And this song is, first is that, you know, this song is typical of the kind of religious songs that I hear a lot, where, you know, Jesus save me or God don't forget me. And that's, there's kind of three categories of songs that I hear. And that's very much in the religious God kind of Jesus mode. And the other two are country, you know, it's got a dog and a truck and a girl who done me wrong or all three together. And the third are kind of street stuff. We get urban types of songs, rap, meaning that's real tough street stuff. So Chelsea's in the sort of the religious kind of thing like that and is a very devout young woman. And you can just hear it in her voice, the way that she sings. And wow, the hair on the back of my neck was standing up when she sang that. And she sang, and all the women in that prison, that was at Whitworth Prison in Georgia. And they sang a cappella, as opposed to the men that I talked about earlier. You heard, you played a cut earlier from the men's prison. Those guys, from the time that they played me their songs, just on a stool with a guitar, in the 2 months that I was gone before I came back, they had formed a band. I mean, there was drums, there were keyboards, two guitars, bass, congas, background singers. I mean, eight people in a room, and it was very complicated recording setup. But the women at this prison just, they didn't want to play in it, but they just wanted to sing a cappella.
Well, we've only got a few minutes left, Greg. There's one more song that I really wanted to make sure to get to from Brianne Joseph, also from Wentworth, singing the song Still. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
This is more kind of an urban kind of street rap. And I'll let the song speak for itself.
Let Shawty know where you see me. If by chance she should ask you, cause I'm running down if I ever catch her in passing. Ain't in the chances trying to make this a last one. And for first, I'm trying to make this a last run. Still friends, still real, still lovers, still facts. Little baby, I still love you. You still running and I still sit still for you. And I still ain't got no control over what I feel for you. I'm still waiting on you. It's still a spot in my heart that's still vacant for you. Should you be afraid of the chances, I'll take them for you. Whatever troubles that slumber you, I'll take them from you. Even if they took me, my love could never be taken from you. I catch you slipping, I pick you up and then take you under. Might make you moan, but I doubt if I ever make you wonder. Make you mad, but I doubt if it ever take us under. I'm never leaving if it's you that I could wake up under. For the sake of coming, I hate the thought of you leaving me. I thought a lot, but I never thought that you needed me. I seen a lot, but I never saw what you see in me. Still friends, still real, still lovers, still facts. Little baby, I still love you. You still running and I still sit still for you. And I still ain't got no control over what I feel for you. I'm still focused on you. It's still a spot in my life that's still open for you. Should you be afraid of the distance, I'll go it for you. I still come if you call me, I'm still motion for you. Even in your absence, I can feel your attachment for me. One of a kind, you fit in a different category. Made it clear that you're somebody that adore me. And for that, I always feel you're the one that's for me. You're nothing short of a blessing, I cherish every second. Love every minute, devoted, no one could ever measure. Up to you or what I get when I'm in your presence. It's still us and in my mind, it'll be that forever. Still friends, still real, still lovers, still facts. Little baby, I still love you. You still running and I still sit still for you. And I still ain't got no control over what I feel for you. Still.
Great. And that was Still by Brianne Joseph, also from Wentworth. This is just a great collection of music, Greg. What's the future of Insider Voices United?
Well, we want to go nationwide. It's started here in Georgia. We've got a couple of prisons under our belt. We've already reached out to the neighboring states in Tennessee, where we've got a foot in Tennessee already, and we've reached out to South Carolina. My plan is to go out to California before the end of the year and also to Texas. It's a simple idea, at least for me, but it has the elements that I don't want to step on anybody else that's doing this. And I know there are other people that have recorded stuff in prison. So we're just trying to do something where we go in and we record these songs and bring them together as an archive. And eventually, I want to reach out to the Smithsonian because they have an Americana collection of music in their Folkways division. I think they might be interested in this. And these are real stories of real people. The other point I wanted to make about this is the songs are copyrighted. We pay for the copyright, but the songs belong to the inmates and they can do with them as they wish. Our website that the songs are on makes no money. We don't monetize the songs, so we're not making money for any of the inmates and the songs itself. So for us, we're starting small. We've got about a half a dozen people who are working on this thing out of the goodness of their heart for free. And we're looking for funding right now. If anybody out there wants to contact us, we sure could use some help with some grant writing and stuff like that. We'd love to hear from you. And the email address is on our website. It's Inside Voices, plural, United. One long word, insidevoicesunited.org. And if you go in there and click on the email thing, you can send me an email. And I would love to get your feedback from your listeners. If they like the songs or if there are different things they want to hear or their comments, as they say, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to hear it all. I'm curious about that because your listeners are such, and I do listen to your podcast and I find your podcast really amazing and very interesting. So I think your listeners kind of reflect that as well. So if people out there are interested in getting involved, please do drop me a line and contact me and we'll be back in touch.
Well, that's an amazing service you provide, Greg. Why are you moved to do this?
Well, it's sort of funny. I've been lucky in my life. I've worked at a variety of careers. As I say, I've been a professional musician. I've been a teacher of film and of music and of television. I worked in television for a while as a producer and in radio as a producer for some time. And I've been lucky. And I, you know, got married and had two great kids. And they're grown now. The wonderful young men, Ben and Jeremy, my favorite people in the world. And it just got to the point where I didn't want to retire, you know, sit up on the Barca lounger. I don't even own a Barca lounger. But I wanted to do something that would employ all the talents that I had and give back. I wanted to give back. I thought this is a great way to kind of, you know, say thank you to the world, you know, in my own head and to the universe for, you know, being kind to me. And so that's really why I do it. Boy, I'll tell you, Emma, I got into it to do that, but it has just surprised me about the level of talent and the amazing stories that I'm hearing in song from these incarcerated people. Just really quite something, quite something.
Greg, thanks so much for joining us on Prison Pipeline. It's been a real pleasure having you on. I hope we can ask you back sometime in the future.
I'd be happy to come back. In fact, I want to at some point talk about reentry and reintegration and things like that. So yeah, you and I'll stay in touch. I would love to be asked back. And thank you so much for having me today. It was a real honor to be on your podcast. I love it.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Emma. I am a co-host, and I'm also the current president of the board of directors here at KABU. At KABU, we prove every day that people-powered radio has the ability to bring us together across distances and give us hope when we feel despair. Your friends at KABU want to remind you that generosity has the same power. Join thousands of KABU supporters from all around the world, and let's rally together to build stronger communities. If you can, just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number 44321. And thanks so much for your support of KABU Community Radio.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KABU Community Radio wouldn't be here without you. Support KABU by becoming a member during our spring membership.